Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jalene. And today we are talking about...
Does a system influence your play style?
Which I didn't realize that was the topic. I thought it was, how do you choose your character? I obviously misunderstood him when he was talking.
Well, I think play style does fall into what kind of character you're going to play.
That's what I said.
Right? Because like a certain, you know, I don't know. I think when you pick a certain character class, usually... It gives you how you're going to play that character.
So you tell us what you mean by this topic.
Well, for me, when I play, I used to play a version of myself, no matter what game it was, whether it was space opera, whether it was D&D.
A version of Saul.
Right. And so I would use the same, my attitude, my beliefs, you know, my code of conduct, and I would attach it to the character. And that's how I would play them, because it's the easiest thing to play was be myself, except as... a Jedi Knight, or as a barbarian, or a paladin, or whatever. But I just mentioned when I play myself, I played a paladin, and you know I would be like a Jedi Knight or stuff. It kind of went in line with what my general personality, is. However you want to call it. That was okay for me when I was younger, but within the last, I would say I keep forgetting how old I am and how long it's been, but I would say. I was going to say the last 10 years, but it's probably been the last 20 years where I've decided to try to change that up, try to play a totally different type of character.
Expand your horizons.
Yes. I think playing in a certain game is definitely going to influence how you're going to play a character.
Okay.
For example, let's say my example is we play Feng Shui. Feng Shui is a random set of good guys who are battling bad guys trying to save the world or the universe or however you want to look at it. That's going to play a little bit differently, or you're going to play it differently. You're going to choose different characters than if you're playing Blades in the Dark, where you're a bunch of scoundrels, thieves, assassins trying to keep your group or your I don't know what they call it. I forget what it is. But your group... and try to advance in the social status in the underworld or the underbelly of this huge medieval city. So your character is going to be different. So you're going to play those characters different. That's probably one of the reasons I've never played Blades in the Dark, because that's what the game is about. You play scoundrels, evil, bad people trying to get ahead over other gangs who are trying to get over on you.
I see.
So I think that in itself is you're going to play different types of characters. And you're going to play them differently than those characters than, let's say, the Feng Shui characters who are out there trying to do good.
In a very cool way.
Well, of course. I mean, Feng Shui is cool.
So the system, when you're playing Feng Shui, it's easy to go outside of your comfort zone, right? Because you can say, oh, well, I saw this movie and I want to play like this character, right? And I think a lot of people do that. And instead of playing versions of themselves, they come up with an idea of what kind of character they want to play.
Right. In the last Feng Shui game, I played a version of... I even called... my character was Martin Riggs, which was Lethal Weapon, the movie. Mel Gibson played Martin Riggs.
Yes.
And that was the main character. I know. So, yeah. So I'm just making sure. Maybe some listeners don't. And so that was the character that I modeled myself for. And that's how I smoked cigarettes. I wore a cap all the time.
You were cray-cray?
Well, I wasn't. So I was just a little bit, upset.
Upset.
And I drove this terrible-looking car, this beat-up old car. And I thought it was pretty interesting. And I had a lot of fun playing that character.
The last couple of times that I've played Feng Shui, I played a thief character.
Yes.
And the reason was because I really like the idea of, in Hong Kong action movies, the idea of being able to run up a building or being able to do, you know, crazy stuff like you, because you're a second story person, right?
Vaulting, so
you have all of these different skill sets.
Right, of course.
So you can do these really cool maneuvers that you couldn't do anywhere else, right? Except in Feng Shui. So I really like that kind of idea of being able to take your skill set and be able to do stuff that you to advance like in a game.
Right.
Like we were playing this one game where we were, I don't know, remember if it was Bay or Morgan who was running it, but we were in like a a dining room in a, I don't know if ship. It was on a ship.
The
and,
ship, yes.
And the roof came down.
Yes.
And so I ran up onto that.
Yes,
and
yes. I think that was Morgan. And that's an actual boat that was in the harbor of Hong Kong.
I think it was Bay.
Maybe it was
Bay because Morgan was playing a...
He's playing Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, yes. Kind of character. Terminator.
Yes, you're right. It was Bay. And
that's an example of how a system can affect how you play the character, right?
Right.
Or what kind of character you decide to play in that
system. And how to play him.
Right.
Right? Because like...
And Feng Shui is easy, right? Because you pick a kind of movie kind of character you want to play in you.
You could. That's
you
the
could. That's the easiest way to get into the mindset of that character.
In fact, I ran with Morgan's way of... He called himself Arnie, right? And then he picked the Terminator. That's who he patterned himself after. He was a cybernetic creature thingy, human, whatever you want to call it. And I go, well, if he's going to play that tongue-in-cheek, I'm going to call myself Martin Riggs, and I'm going to be the... I forget what they call it, the Something cop.
Yeah.
Right. And I go, oh, yeah, I'll run with it. And so that was pretty, yeah, it was pretty fun. And you're right. I played it because that's the easy one to get into the role because there's so many examples of how to play that character. Because there's a magic cop and then there's the, I forget what it is, renegade cop, rebel cop, or whatever they call them. And they themselves, when they made that character class, if you want to use that term for Feng Shui, is patterned after like Mel Gibson and patterned after Bruce Willis.
Right, because it's about movies.
Yeah,
it's about over the topness, right?
Yeah, action movies.
Yeah.
So I think when
and
you
that, sit, don't they call them archetypes?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So when you sit down and make a character for Feng Shui, it's so easy.
You start with an archetype.
So easy to envision somebody or an actor or a role and be able to mimic that in the game. So I think that's why I think it's so, people will play a role depending on how the system is written.
I think that Feng Shui and Spirit of the Century, both of those had a lot of influence on the way that you look at how you play characters now versus before.
Yes. Right?
And it's the same thing for me. The idea that, you know, when I first started playing D&D, it was because my brother, him and his friends needed somebody to play with them.
We need a fourth person.
And we literally were playing in some kid's basement, and I had no idea what was going on, but my brother was like a year and a half younger than me, and he wanted to do it. So I go, okay. The character, they just gave me a character and said, because they had taken, they were teenage boys, right? So they made all these characters. They go, okay, you're going to play this character. And they gave it to me. So I didn't even have a choice. And that's how I felt playing D&D a lot of times was, okay, we need this kind of character. So I would go ahead and someone had either made the character or I would go ahead and make the character and they would give me suggestions on how to do it.
Yeah, of course.
So it wasn't until I was in my, probably after Augustine was born, so that I actually had an idea, or maybe even before Augustine was born.
It was after.
After?
Yeah.
Okay. That I could come up with, someone let me choose my own kind of character, right?
Right.
That was always hard for me because then you have to put so much work into what do I want my character to be and that kind of stuff. How am I going to play him? But that's D&D, right? There's not a lot of movies out there other than Lord of the Rings, which had just come out.
Yeah, 2000. It was after Augustine was born.
So it wasn't a lot of...
Well, there's a lot of books, but not a lot of movies.
Right.
Right. So those kind of examples are not...
So as I played more games, then I discovered that you don't have to put so much effort into it if you think of, oh, I read this character in a book or I saw this character in a movie and then this system, this is what we're doing in this system. So I think that would be a good way to go.
Right. And I think that you're right. I think when somebody, I forget where I got this idea from. I think it was somewhere in the inner tubes. And I think it's pretty important to know that when you are making a character and thinking about how to play that character, of course the setting is going to influence you, right? If you're playing... Again, if you're playing a Star Wars game and you are with the Empire, you're going to probably play those characters a little bit different than you would play if you were the Rebels, right?
Right.
For whatever reason. I mean, you could come up with your own reasoning. I mean, I would think that the rebels are a little bit less regimented, right? They're gonna be more chaotic, more loosey goosey with laws and stuff, because basically they don't believe in them, or they don't believe in the Empire. And if you're playing the Empire game and you're all part of the Empire, whether you're pilots, troopers, or whatever, you're gonna play a little bit differently. Just like I said, like the first example from Feng Shui to Blades in the Dark. Now, I've never played Blades in the Dark. I know some people really like that game. I think Bay and those and the Stanford group had tried it once when I wasn't there, and they really liked it. I thought they really enjoyed it.
They like all games.
That's so true. That's true. There's some people that like all games.
Well, because they want to figure out the rules and how you can play it and the best kind of character to be for it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they want a reason why they bought the book. The shelf of shame.
Which you have no shelf of shame. You just have shelves of books.
I'm getting through most of the books, though. I have. It's kind of like a...
Anyway, like the answer is anyway.
So, what do you think? Other things influence the style of the game other than the game that you're playing. So even if you're playing D&D, for example, there's different settings in D&D that you could be playing in. There could be like Forgotten Realms, and then there's different parts of Forgotten Realms. There is different settings like D&D. There's an interesting game called a setting called Midnight. Now this stems from 3.0, I think it first came out. And this one postulates that, like, let's say, imagine the Lord of the Rings, but like if Sauron had won, right? So the free peoples had banded together, fought against the evilness, and lost. And what you're left with is...
a horrible world?
A very horrible world, right? Very dark place. But as you, the characters, you are the last, you know, not the last possibly, but you are that group of people who want to still fight the good fight.
I probably wouldn't play in that game.
Yeah, I know.
But I have played the One Ring game.
Yes, yes.
And
but we didn't play evil characters.
No.
Okay.
I told all of you that I didn't really want to play in the One Ring game because I really like the books and I like the way that Tolkien, his world, and I didn't want it to be sullied by
our terrible role playing.
No, I just thought it would be wrong.
It's like sacrilegious.
And in some ways, and I talked to Bay about this, and I was right. I didn't enjoy the experience as much as I enjoyed playing, but I didn't like some of the ways that it went.
That was a strange adventure, I think, because we're all playing hobbits, right? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and because of that, I think it was strange for me too, because it was not.
You weren't playing a hobbit. You were playing a Rohirrim.
Was I?
A horseman, yeah.
Oh, was that right? Oh, wow. Okay. Maybe that's why I didn't mind it so much. I understand. You hold a setting, in this case, the Lord of the Rings setting, a Tolkien setting, kind of like in reference, right? In reverence, I should say. And like you don't want to sully that. You don't want to like mess things up. You know, how can I, you know, play in that world? Same thing with, let's say, though to a lesser extent, the Wheel of Time, because the Wheel of Time, you know, it's a big. I don't know how much difference the size of the world is compared to Middle Earth, but it seems a little bit bigger, and there's all kinds of different things happening, and so you could set your adventures in that world, and stuff is happening, and
you could set your adventure in Tar Valon, and you could never leave the city.
Yes, exactly, and things could happen that have nothing to do with
right.
The huge thing that's going on. Though it might influence you, you might hear about it, but like, for example, the two rivers, or is that
yes.
Edmund's Field, like until the Trollocs attacked this town, they could keep living and like, oh yeah, we had kids that left here 3 years ago, but we haven't heard from them, and blah, 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 right? And you could play in that area, and it'd be like,
it would be like playing D&D.
Yeah, it'd be like D&D, you know, you might come across a Trolloc here and there, or D&D would be orc, but you know, big deal. Oh, they do exist, kind of thing. Like they don't even believe right. That they exist and stuff. So you could play in that world, but where I think Tolkien has like a little bit of a higher elevation of like respect. I think that's what it is. And people don't want to muddy that water. They don't want to tarnish it by the maybe amateurish adventures that I write or come up with. and stuff like that. So I think when they first came out with the One Ring, they knew about that. They totally knew about that. The guy who, Francesco Nepotello, the writer, he loves Tolkien, right? He's I wouldn't say a Tolkien scholar maybe, but he definitely knows his stuff, right? And he had a lot of respect for it. So that's why he put in the setting between the end of The Hobbit and before the Lord of the Rings books, because there's a little gray area there that stuff happened that Tolkien didn't write about.
Right.
So you can play in that era between the two books and mess around and do things and basically not harm the timeline, not harm the what happens, right?
Right.
And then he puts it in an area that Tolkien just kind of mentions and doesn't go into a lot of detail about what's there, about what's happening there. And so that's why they put the setting there. The new books, they kind of turn it away from that
era,
obscure area, yeah, and then move it to the Shire and stuff like that, which is obviously Tolkien wrote quite a bit about it, right? He talks about,
yes,
concerning hobbits, and he, yeah, and we're there for both when The Hobbit and also in The Lord of the Rings and how life is like there and stuff like that. So I think in that case, the One Ring does a good job of showing respect for Tolkien at the same time giving you a world that you can play in. And I really like that. I think it was really well done. Not everybody writes a game in with that kind of respect to their source material. And for example, the Wheel of Time book, it just has everything. It has it gives you the world. It has talks about each and every country, and then it talks about the different character classes. It's based on D&D, so, third edition, so it has character classes, which may or may not work well with the idea of Wheel of Time and.
Well, it does, because you kind of need to know some of the things that the people can do, right? Character classes, if you're going to be Aes Sedai or.
I guess there is advancement.
An Ael or a Iel or however they say it.
Iel. I don't know. Ael.
I always say Ael. So.
Yeah, I think the E or I is silent.
Yeah, whatever.
Damn you, Robert Jordan. So I think in that sense, you have a world that is definitely more playable in Robert Jordan's and in the One Ring, original One Ring, because one, they give you everything, and I don't know if the Wheel of Time is held as sacred, and two, in Tolkien, he puts it in a very strange.
If you love the world, the Wheel of Time, don't get after him, please.
Well, and don't we're not going to mention the show, because a lot of people hate the show. And
anyway,
some people love it. So obviously, to me, I mean, we could talk about it quite a bit more, but your game that you're playing definitely influences the style that you're going to play, or even picking a character class, right?
Well, I go back to Shadowrun. Uh-oh. And the boys love that game because they can basically look at the character classes or the character archetypes or whatever you want to call them as you're creating your character, and they will say, I'm going to be a street samurai, and then they go, I can do all of these things I can change all of my limbs into cyber limbs, and I can still have enough essence to play, right?
Well, I think the beauty of that system is that you can make any kind of character you want,
right?
Even because there is no character classes, right?
There are no character classes, and there's no levels, really. Because right. You're making you're not starting out as first level something or other. You're starting out as the person that goes out.
Right. You're giving points or they call it the priority system, which when I first encountered it in first edition, I think, possibly second edition, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was really neat. You know, the A, B, C.
Yeah, you have to choose
what's important to you.
What's important to you. How much magic do you want to have? How much money do you want to have to deck yourself out or all the cyber stuff that you want?
Costs money.
Yeah.
And then there's a priority for skills and then attributes.
And so, also and it has to do too with what kind of race you pick. Yes.
Right. So the priorities are A, B, C, D, and E.
And E.
Right? And the A will give you the most points or the most money if you pick that. And the thing is about Shadowrun is the problem is if you're very new to the system or very new to the game, you may not know what to do.
Well, it's really hard to make a character in that game. You really need, even with the programs that are out there to make the character, you need to have an idea of what you want to do. So if you want to read the book or read the beginning part of the book where they give you these ideas of what a really what a street samurai is,
yes,
what a magic user is, what kind of magic user you could be if you want to be a hacker or what do they call it, a decker?
Yeah.
Or a technomancer. I mean, there's all kinds of different things. And but usually when you have an idea of what this world is, right? You want to be this guy that has cyber limbs and can run fast and can shoot good, or you're a sniper. There's different kinds of things. So you base your character on your idea of what you want to play.
Right.
And then you can go around it and figure out how you're going
to
make.
How close can you get to that? What you
to do? That reality.
Right. And yeah. I think that's what I really like about that system, and I think I like a lot of games that let you do that kind of stuff, that there is no character class, because kind of character classes kind of pigeonhole you into what, like, these are the set of skills that are good for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's
available to you.
So in Shadowrun, I always come up with the idea of what I want my character to be before I make the character, right? Because then you're doing it. You have to do exactly the opposite if you're playing Call of Cthulhu, because as you're rolling, it's random as you're creating the character. So, because Saul always tells the story that he wanted to be this cop, right?
Oh, yeah.
And but when he was rolling up his character, the cop was not going to be as strong. He might not even be able to shoot a gun, that kind of stuff, right? So that is going to influence how you're going to play the character.
Right. It reminds me, what's that, the Duke and that show we watch? Scarlet and the Duke. And there's that one guy who's an inspector only because he's rich.
His dad.
Yeah. And so he sucks.
Which is the way that it works, right?
Like he doesn't suck. He's a real smart guy.
Yeah,
but he's like a wimp, right? He can't do anything.
He's getting better.
Yeah, he doesn't. Well, at the beginning, he doesn't know how to fire a gun, and he's kind of inept, right? And he's always bumbling.
And that's the kind of cop I
would have been, right?
Right. Exactly.
And I didn't feel like being the bumbling cop in a Call of Cthulhu game, because it would have done me absolutely no good. I told the story. I want to be this hard nosed private eye or Chicago cop. And my stats were terrible, right? My physical stats. And then he had, like, highly educated. I'm like, oh, my God. And so I just go, well, I guess I'll just make him a history professor, which actually turned out to be better than the cop.
Because
I had more
knowledge
and skills in areas that I needed.
So I think Call of Cthulhu kind of, as you're creating your character, you can't have you can have an idea what your character is going to be, but that doesn't mean they're going to turn out that way.
I would put the idea on hold.
I would wait, and like Shannon and Morgan say, roll first and then decide what kind of character you want to be. There's no reason to be a cop that can't do anything, right?
A bumbling cop is not a good cop.
Yeah.
And especially
in Call of Cthulhu. Okay.
In that case, you're right. It's best not to have an idea of what you want, because you might get disappointed by the roles.
But the way that you roll up your character is going to be the way that you play the character, right? Because you're going to have to adjust whatever you're thinking your character is going to be. If you have any idea, it may or may not happen that way. So you're going to have to adjust it to the way that your actual skill set is.
Right. Well, and that's exactly right. Because like I had this idea of how I wanted to play a character, and it turned out, I'm not even making that character. The character that was rolled up is not the character I had envisioned. So I had to change the way I played him, because I was going to play this like rough and tumble guy. And I'm like, well, no, I can't play that character. I can't play that way.
Right.
I can't play the history professor that way, because his physical stats were like terrible.
Well, and the best example that I have of this is with the boys helped Kathy roll up her character for Shadowrun. And she couldn't fire a gun. She didn't have the skills. She didn't have whatever you need to be able to fire the gun, shooting or aiming or anything.
Yeah, what it was. Yeah.
It was some, but whatever it was, she had a gun. They let her buy a gun, but she couldn't actually use the gun.
Another thing is she had envisioned how she wanted her character to fight. Like she wanted to be able to like throw people, kind of like a martial
grappling
artist,
and
right,
yeah,
yeah, and so she's spend her points, and then with the help of Ian, she made her character. And then she goes, why can't I do this? Oh, because you can't, because that's not, you didn't have any points in that. And she goes, but I told you that's what I want to do. So they went back to the drawing board and remade the whole character and readjusted where she put her points in and came out with
the... That was a different character than the one where she couldn't fire the gun, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she made a character that could actually do what she wanted to do.
So in her case, she had to tell them twice what it was she wanted to do. Yes. Because in the character creation, that's not what happened.
Right. Well, because she kind of told them what she wanted to, kind of character she wanted to play. And they made a character. And of course, it wasn't quite what she wanted to play. So they revamped both her characters because it happened twice.
Right.
But I think that's what happens when you don't personally get too invested in knowing how to create the character.
Well, that one is specifically Shadowrun, I think. Because it's really hard to... I tell Augustine, this is what I want to do. How can I do this? I want to be able to fire guns. I want to be a sniper in this one. So I want to be a street samurai that has a little bit of cyber stuff, but not. I don't look like I'm
Cyberman. Like you don't want to look like a
I don't want to have the eye, you know. Terminator. I still want to be cute, but I want to be a sniper.
I had the same problem when I was making my character because I had this idea of what a physical adept was. I hate to turn into a Shadowrun episode. But making a character was very difficult because I'm like, well, because you're literally like, oh, I could have this, but I want to be able to do this. Which one's more important? So when you make the character, you really are doing those like hard decisions as to what your character is actually going to be able to do.
Right.
Because like by the physical adept, you can do stuff that ordinary humans couldn't do. Because they're sort of magical, but the magical is like kind of like Kung Fu Ki kind of stuff. Chi, whatever. And so it's a lot different than throwing spells. It's more that you power your abilities, right?
Right.
So like I'm able to like jump on a wall and stay on the wall and like cling to it for like
a certain amount of time.
And I go, well, do I want that ability? That seems like it'd be pretty cool. But I go, but you know, it's all these decisions that you have to make. And unless you're well versed in the rules, which unfortunately those rules are hard to get versed in, it's also very hard to make a character and make a character that is something that you want to play or build. Maybe you don't, it's not the way you want the character to be like, but there's a chance that they can advance after a little bit of experience, which they call karma, to be able to add to your character and become the character that you want to play.
So that's one way, right? That's you get an idea of a character, then you create it. There's other games, like other systems, like if you're playing Liminal, it's a total mystery game, right?
Yes.
You're trying to figure out stuff.
Right.
So you're going to approach it in a different way. Even if you play a werewolf, you have to be...
Yeah, you're going to have to...
You're going to have to be able to talk to people. So you can't be like... You know,
you can't be a werewolf.
Not only that, but so the things that you face in a game like Liminal are a different set to... Your bullets aren't necessarily going to do anything to them.
Or physicalness, right?
Right.
You come across ghosts and stuff like that, and that... So how do you fight a ghost, or how do you eliminate a ghost that is incorporeal that can't be attacked physically? Of course, there's different ways of doing that, right? If you watch enough Supernatural, if you watch any kind of ghost stories and stuff, you figure out that something that will affect the ghost.
Find the bones.
Yeah, find the bones, or maybe it's attached to some amulet,
right,
or some house or whatever. So there's that, but it usually...
So that system affects how you play the character,
right,
and what kind of character you play. Yeah,
I really like Liminal. It's a shame we haven't played it in a while.
And there's different games, like we played that one, the Lindworm game. What's it called?
Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp. And how you played your character may or may not have had an effect on the game, because there were all kinds of cards and things that you had no control over, right?
Yeah, that was, obviously, that game was written by somebody who didn't have a good experience at camp. And I was the exact opposite. Other than, you know, dealing with messy kid boys, fifth grade boys, and having to clean the bathroom. Other than that terrible experience, I had a wonderful experience at camp. So the whole idea of a camp being this terrible place where terrible things happen was a little bit outside my realm of understanding or stuff. But I was okay for trying that game out. It was really strange. You know, the rules were very
specific?
Very specific for a game that seemed to be like open.
Right. It wasn't as open as you thought it would be.
Correct.
And you were a camp counselor responsible for kids, and it didn't matter because it was a horror game.
Kids die. Yes. Terrible. So I think you definitely, anytime you're going to sit down and make a character and sit down and play a character, the system matters. It's very hard to play the same way, the same character from system to system to different system, because sometimes that play style is not going to work, right? If you're like always playing the Dudley Do Right Paladin and you're playing Blades in the Dark, or you're playing Scum and Villainy, which is a Rebel Star Wars clone type thing, or you're playing Apocalypse World, the end of the world kind of stuff, I guess you could still be a paladin. It's going to change, right? Sometimes that type of play style is not going to work. Playing the paladin.
I mean, you can play it like that, but it's not necessarily going to fit in the system.
Right, or in the genre, or
in the game. You're playing with. You could be, although that would make you like the player character that all the people are in your group are going, okay, we have to keep him under control.
He's the loose cannon. When you are thinking about how to play your character, look at the system, look at the setting, and then you figure it out from there. And then also, like, what matters is how the character is made, because you may not have a decision before you even start playing, right? Before you even make your character, roll up your character. For example, in Shadowrun, just to use that one, or any point by system, you can make a character that you want. But in COC, if you play it the way they tell you to make a character, where you roll randomly your stats and stuff, you may or may not get the stats that help you make the character that you want to play. So I think the system matters, the GM matters, because maybe the GM says, oh, no, you could be whatever you want. And
I've never seen a Call of Cthulhu GM to say that. Okay?
You're right.
You have to roll up the
They're
character.
They're pretty brutal.
There. Yeah.
They're pretty brutal.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
And there's definitely none of the characters you play with.
And you can always come with the ideas of different kinds of characters that you could play. So if you're going to play a Call of Cthulhu game and you don't know what you're going to roll up, so have, as you're rolling it up, go have some ideas of different kinds of people, like Indiana Jones, right?
Yes.
But a very weak Indiana Jones, right?
So instead of Indiana Jones, it's the dad.
Yeah, or something like that, yeah. So you can come up with different ideas.
So I think, if you play any kind of role-playing game, it's definitely going to be the influence. I mean, the way you play your character is definitely going to be influenced by the setting, by the game, even by the GM, because they may have...
And the other characters,
and
the other players that are playing,
right.
Yeah.
Because you may not all want to play scrappy kids in the...
Well, you can't. You really... I mean, you could. That would be a very interesting Feng Shui game.
Actually, I have seen it done at a convention, but for a home game, you usually don't want to play those same characters.
Right.
Same class or whatever.
So there you go. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And you have a good day.